You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, October 2nd. My God, we're into October already. It is spooky season. Halloween season is upon us. 2025, you are listening to the returning Mindless Wrestling Podcast back after a two-week hiatus. Before I get into that, I want to go around and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show each and every week and then explain what happened. Starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He is Ray Cash's daddy, the king of the power nap, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how you doing, buddy?
All right, and well, this week I am the one of the few who did not retire early. this was the week for like the last buyout offer they made for early retirement buyout offer they made. This was the week that everybody who took it would be going home. So
yeah,
and
that's convenient timing considering what else is going on.
Yeah,
well, if they planned that.
Yeah, and it was planned basically pick your date and then. Like you got like you're on leave for the next 6 months, and then 6 months from now you officially retire. That was the early retirement offer that was made. So, a bunch of the people who came in around the same time I did, and who've been there about as long as I have, several of them took the offer, and so this was the week where they said goodbye.
Wow,
nice.
So,
are you going into a ghost town on now?
Sort of, not like the whole building, but over in my section, there's definitely some empty spaces. Like, actually the guy who's next to me, took it. So, the office next to mine will be empty, which yeah. I'm not too upset about because he was very loud, about everything. But I chose to stick around because I'm not ready to stop working. I still got to keep working, and the way things are looking right now, just ain't exactly the best time to be looking for something.
No, so definitely not. If you got a stable job that you can stay with it for now.
Yes. So I just said I'll stick around.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you on that. Last but never, ever, ever least, he is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud 9, Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back and destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you doing this week?
I am wonderful, my friends. It's a pleasure to be back again. Unfortunately, gentlemen. There's something we got to address right away.
Yeah.
In the words of Michael Cole, the streak is over.
The Mindless Wrestling Podcast has prided itself for its entire existence on our consistency. We were at 263 straight episodes without missing a week as a unit. Individually, Jason and I have both missed days here and there. Rob has never missed a single week. Last week that came to an end. As you noticed, if you've been listening to us for a long time, there was no Mindless Wrestling Podcast. As you also may have noticed, over the last couple months, we have had the introduction of a soundboard. Funding for the Mindless Wrestling Podcast came to a screeching halt about 2 weeks ago. So the soundboard was at an end. Our audio situation was all jacked up. And due to circumstances way beyond our control, we were not able to put a show out to you, the listeners, last week, and we do apologize for that. We are back, and hopefully with a new gimmick, hopefully with some new funding, and hopefully starting a new streak. So real quick, before we get into this tonight, I wanted to give you guys an update on me and why I probably sound like worse crap than I normally do. I have had like a rough week. I had double hernia surgery about 48 hours ago, which was wild. What a wild day. I've talked to the guys about that like privately, but I'm in a pretty good bit of pain right now. So Jason and Rob are probably going to be doing a lot of literally the heavy lifting tonight, because during the surgery, they have to put you out, which the anesthesia was a trip, you know, because it was literally, okay, sir, we're going to come in here. You're going to move over to this bed. Okay, so you're awake now. Like, literally, it was like they scooted me from one bed to the other, and they put a mask on me, and then I woke up in recovery. Like, that was it. Literally it. And I had, like, this pain in my abdomen. I'm like, what the hell? Like, is it over already? So that was that. But during the surgery, they have to intubate you, which means they have to put a tube down your throat and breathe for you, because one of the anesthetics that they give you is a paralytic, so you don't move during the surgery, which obviously, so now you need help breathing. So that was the whole thing about 48 hours ago. So I'm in a bit of pain, not having a real comfortable night. I'm going to let my boys do most of the lifting, but because we missed last week, because we do pride ourselves on being consistent, I missed my boys, I missed the listeners, and I miss podcasting. We are here tonight. I'm going to grind through it. We're going to have a good time. We've got a pretty good show lined up. Rob has a new idea for another game we're going to play on the back half. But in the first half, we are going to talk No Mercy. No Mercy was this past weekend. NXT had a great show. Right off the rip, that's my opinion of the whole thing. But we are going to kick this over to Jason, who, as customary on this show, always handles the card for us. Jason, the floor is yours.
All right, gentlemen. We had the wonderful NXT No Mercy heading to us live from the Fort Lauderdale War Memorial. That's the name of the FTL War Memorial is the name of the arena. It was an awesome show, in my opinion, but let's just go down the card. We had Javon Evans and Josh Briggs in, honestly, they went for 16 minutes according to this. I had a ton of fun. Javon got to show out. Josh Briggs is like one step above a good hand, and that's not a bad place to be. Because he always, you know, he's not going to give you any 5-star classics. But he's also, I don't think he's going to give you any stinkers. And they went for 15 and gave everything they had. I thought I had a great time, and Javon won. So, yeah, I had a great time. Rob?
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent opener. It didn't feel like 15 minutes to me, for sure.
No.
And, you know, then they even had, they had a story to it, because I think Briggs had beaten Javon. And so, you know, this was him, you know, finally getting over on him. And look at, yeah, I mean, and look, you can't say enough good things about Javon. The kid is, I mean, he's just, you know, he's excellent. And he's one, and, you know, we've talked before about how, you know, there are guys who, you know, who know how to execute the moves as far as doing the flippy stuff or whatever. And then there are people who just do it better. He's one of the people who does it better, and to the point where, you know, guys like us who kind of bristle at flippy stuff sometimes, you know, he's so good at doing that stuff and other aspects of ring work that, you know, if he does something that's, you know, a little too much, you will allow it. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed the opener. I thought it was a great way to open the show. Like, it didn't feel like 15 minutes at all to me.
Yeah, I agree with everything Rob said. I'm going to add a couple of things about Javon. One thing that he does that I really, really like, and this was evident when he wrestled Sami Zayn on SmackDown a couple weeks ago, he has great facial emotions. Like, when you look at that guy, his face just tells a story. And I dig that little nuance, because, like, when he came out and he wrestled Sami, he's got this look on his face like, this is to him, this might as well have been WrestleMania. You know, it was on a SmackDown on a Friday night, and in his head, in his body language said, this is my WrestleMania moment. And he goes out there each and every week with that look on his face. Like, he's hungry. This kid is hungry and he's starving. And I love that little nuance from him. And I'm looking forward to, you know, as Rob said, we can't say enough good things about the guy, and I'm going to continue to pile on the praise because I think he's awesome. This was a great match. Josh Briggs, man, another guy who I think doesn't get involved in enough conversations. I think I likened him to the modern day Baron Corbin, and that is a compliment, and that is the highest of compliments, because he's that guy who's going to go out there and give you a solid outing every single time you go, and he will perform what you ask him to do every single time you ask him to go out there. I have not seen Josh Briggs miss once. You know, since he broke away from the tag team, which the gimmick was what it was. I could have cared less about the tag team he was in, but since he's been on his own, he has really, really, really impressed me as one of the workhorses of the NXT division. I can't say enough good things about that guy either.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm running out of good things to say about both of them, frankly. Rob, to your point, everything Javon does makes sense, and he puts oomph behind it. That's why we, as the flippy guy, you know, haters, like really, the flippy shit haters, actually. We don't hate flippy guys. It's all about how you do it. And Javon does it well. He hit everything he hits you with, hits like a Mortal Kombat character, and he makes everything make sense. He's not just springing off of something just to do it. And then Josh, it just, you're right, DJ, since he broke away, he's been perfectly fine wrestling, like, guy. And to very, very good wrestling guy. And also, bell to bell, I would tell you that guy hasn't missed in a long, long time, even back during the tag team stuff. So, anyway, that's enough about Josh and Devon. We don't need to put them over anymore on this show, because we do that a lot. Speaking of people we put over way too much, and they deserve it every single time, Sol Ruka and Jada Parker had a little match for the Women's Speed Championship, and it was a ton of fun. I love the speed matches, because they, you know, they're, you know, you're forced to work fast, so they work fast. It's a ton of fun, and these two were perfect for it. We're, again, running out of good things to say, and so the Soul Snatcher is rising my, like, all-time finishing move list rapidly, and it's crazy. DJ?
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. And like you, I loved the Speed Championship introduction and the dynamic and the whole thing behind it. I'm glad they didn't abandon it when the deal with Twitter ran out, and I'm glad they're continuing that. This was a ton of fun, a good 5 minutes well spent. The finish was so slick. And that's the thing about these speed matches, is that they allow you to get creative with the finish. It's like, you've only got 5 minutes. We need to tell a story. How do we get out of this at the tail end? It's almost always a banger. You know, and Sol Ruka continues the run, man.
Yeah, like her giving the – just – I love her gimmick now. Like, just she's just got it. She's the avatar of California, and it's amazing. Rob.
Okay, so I got to say the speed matches – I've been, at first I was like, oh, who cares, for a while. They've actually won me over, and I think it's because, well, she's the perfect person to have to do this, right? Because some people, it's like, oh, we're just going to have a match for 3 minutes, right? And I think because she can hit that finish from nowhere, you know, that makes her a good way, you know, what's a good thing to have when you have to do a shorter match. And also I think Jada Parker was a good opponent for that, because again, she does, you know, she goes in there and she throws haymakers basically, as far as, you know, what type of moves she does. And that also lends itself to, you know, when you have to have a shorter match, because they could just go in there and they could just, you know, throw everything at each other. And, you know, and they, you know, they do the type of things that you can end the match quickly with.
Yes. And Jada, yep. Like I said, to your point, Jada is that girl. She's a heavy hitter. Yep. And she can, and it's one of those two things in these 5 minute matches. You're either going to catch a quick finish like a Soul Snatcher, or you're going to knock somebody out quick like a Jada Parker. It's perfectly catered to them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, like I said, like, whereas, again, you know, two, you know, quote unquote, technical wizards where they got to, you know, roll around the mat a few minutes just to warm up or whatever. It's not, this type of thing isn't for them, for those type of wrestlers. So, but again, I thought it was really good. And I thought, again, they were two perfect people to have in the match and, you know, to go against each other. And also, because, and at first, you know, the angle, you know, when they said Lainey Reed was not, you know, was not medically cleared. I thought that was a shoot injury, right? So
yeah.
So I thought that they were just, you know, that they were going to throw somebody out there, and they wouldn't have had any time to really put anything together. And I thought this is probably just going to be some thrown together thing to get through a few minutes, and probably won't be very good. But obviously, you know, since the injury was at work. That means they had this thing figured out all along.
Yep.
And so everything worked. Everything went great.
Yeah, it did. All right. So next up, we had Jordynne Grace and Blake Monroe in a weaponized steel cage match. Everything came as advertised. I had a shit ton of fun. It was violent. Blake had pink weapons. No notes. Rob. Jordynne Grace won, which, you know, makes sense. Yeah. Rob, sorry, go.
Okay. So first of all, shout out to Blake for coming to a street fight wearing something you could wear to a street fight.
She came right out of Dudleyville, didn't she?
Yeah, and because, look, that's one of the things that's just, I mean, if you're having a weapons match, you shouldn't be wearing your sparkly, you know, stuff out there, right? And look, I mean, for us old NWA fans, when they had the barbed wire match or the no holds barred match, they didn't come out there in their wrestling trunks. They would put on like jeans and cowboy boots and, you know, and a tank top or whatever. Like they would dress differently for that kind of match.
Dusty and Magnum always looked like they just left the bar or they were headed to the bar after the match.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Probably both true.
Yeah, probably. Yes. But it was, you know, and so that was a nice touch from the very beginning. And look, man, so imagine, so Blake has done two of these kind of matches this year, and they've both been great. Did one with Tony and now this. And, you know, Jordynne was great in this as well. And the hair cutting spot surprised me. I didn't think they would do that, but they did it. And I'll say this, you know, doing hair cutting angles with women wrestlers now, it's a hard sell now because we know they show us on their Instagram accounts.
Now we just know how expensive those extensions are, man.
Well, that, and then, yeah, and we know, but I mean, I'm just saying they show on their Instagram accounts that, you know, when they, it's not their real hair.
Right.
So it's not quite the same.
It's not the same as in the 70s when you had to go to the grocery store the next day, you know, chunk of your hair missing.
Yeah. But even though that was a good, I mean, that was still a good spot to do. And then, you know, then pulling out, that was like some fake diamonds. She, instead of, you know, thumbtacks or Legos, she had some fake diamonds, and that fits with her whole persona and all of that.
Well, they were real diamonds.
Look, if those are real diamonds, the referee would have been picking them up and shoving them in his pocket during the
match. Right.
Okay.
Especially an NXT referee.
Yeah, right. You know, like he'd been outside selling them in the parking lot after that. But, no, but I thought, again, I thought it was excellent. I thought they did a great job. And, you know, and again, they didn't do anything too ridiculous. Like, they didn't, nobody got, you know, when they did the table thing off the turnbuckle, that was the finish. They didn't get up and fight for 10 more minutes. Okay. Right. That's important in these kind of matches because way too often that's what happens. They know, they go off the top of the cage, do a stack of flaming tables, and then they get up and they fight for 10 more minutes, and then then nothing matters, right?
Yeah, so, Deej, this is very much your shit. What did you think of this?
Oh, man, this was probably my match of the night. I had a ton of fun watching these two ladies beat the hell out of each other. A lot of really good stuff. Told an excellent story in the ring. Jordynne Grace continues to be Jordynne Grace. Blake Monroe has definitely shut everybody up who thought that WWE was going to ruin her. This was my match of the night, easily. Well, I shouldn't say easily because the whole card was really, really good. But at the end of it all, this ended up being my match of the night.
Excellent. All right, so next up we had the NXT North American Championship on the line. Tavon Heights was going up against champion Ethan Page. Unfortunately for Mr. Heights, he fell, and Ethan Page is still your North American champion. Rob, what did you think of this excellent match?
I guess for me, it was just okay. And for me, you know, we just had three of those first weeks back to back. So it's not a commentary on either of them. For me, it was a cool old match. Okay. This is not a knock on either. It's not a commentary on either one of those guys and what they were doing. It's just, for me, it was a cool old match. But they did a good job. And, you know, Tavion Heights, you know, because he's been working down there with Booker also. So, I mean, he has a ring work down. He's, you know, and he's got to put the, you know, got to, I guess, figure out a character or whatever, right? But he's got the ring work down. And I'll say he's what they were hoping to get out of Gabe Stevenson. And, you know.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I will say nothing about it was bad. It was just a wrestling match after everything we had just watched. So I think that's part of it, because it was a very good wrestling match, but it was just, you know, coming right after a weaponized cage match. Deej, what did you have for the North American title?
I thought this was a perfectly fine standard title defense wrestling match. I likened it to, say, maybe back in the day, Tully Blanchard defending the TV championship against, I don't know, Tom Zink. Like, they make you think Tom Zink might stand a chance, but it's really just an exhibition match for the champion to continue to look good and for them to showcase some new up-and-coming talent, which they did with Tavion Heights. I think the guy, again, bell to bell, he's got it down. He needs to work on some type of character thing that people latch onto. I think from a technical standpoint, this was solid. It was really good. And we can't say it enough on this show. All Ego Ethan Page continues to be one of the best NXT signings of the last 12 to 24 months.
Yes.
Tavion has successfully avoided the Performance Center cookie cutter look.
Yes.
Nothing he does looks like he's rehearsed it a billion times, you know?
Yeah.
He's very fluid in the ring. That trip down to, up to, over to Noah, I think, helped him grow quite a bit in that regard.
I agree. So next up, we had the NXT Women's Championship on the line. JC Jane defended her title against Lola Vice. I wondered at a certain point if this was it, and, you know, hey, maybe we're shotgunning Lola here, but it was not to be. JC defended her title. But just the fact that they got me, you know, in a 20-minute match, 18-minute match, so I'd say all's well that ends well. Deej.
Yeah, this was a fun match. I wasn't expecting Lola to win. They've been doing a lot of work with her in AAA, and I think that may be her future for the foreseeable. But talk about growth. Like, Lola Vice, there was a period of time, like, incredible to look at. The gimmick obviously pops the crowd. But when we talk bell to bell, there was a time where I was really starting to wonder whether Lola Vice was going to get it. She has turned it around. She looks incredible out there. She looks comfortable out there. And JC Jane, what a turnaround. For somebody that was like everybody's third favorite member of Toxic Attraction, she has turned into an attraction. Like, and that's a compliment.
Yeah, she has beaten all of the allegations. So, Rob, what do you have for the women's match? Women's championship match.
Okay, so if you had told me a year ago that there was going to be an NXT women's championship match between JC Jane and Lola Vice, I would, you know, I'd have been out there with the "Who booked this shit" sign. All right. You know, if you told me that a year ago.
And if we told you it was awesome.
Yeah, I would have, you know, I would have called the DEA and had them send some plastic cups to y'all. Okay. 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 All right.
A year ago, I wouldn't have believed the booking, and then I wouldn't have believed anything above fine to good. I mean, because that's where they were, in my opinion. Maybe JC was a little further along, but Lola certainly not. And look at him now.
Yeah, because and Lola had a match with she had a match with Roxanne, and you know, it was one of those where like we were all saying, "Oh yeah, she just did okay," but I mean, it wasn't really that good. you know, I think we were being nice. I mean, you know,
probably.
And you know, like DJ said, for her to come this far, I mean, again, like you said, everything you said is true. She has come a long way, and the two of them, and look, and they didn't have a, you know, we rehearsed these moves 50 times match either. It was, I mean, it felt like they were really fighting out there.
Yeah.
And now, of course, for me, you know, the finish was kind of given away once they did the whole backstage bit with Lainey Reed, you know, that pretty much gave away the finish. But you know what? For knowing the finish going in, or for having a very strong hunch of who was going to win going into the match, they still, you know what? They still had me there for a minute, right? I thought that, you know, okay, well maybe, because I thought for a little bit there that, oh well, maybe they'll do that next week or something, right? And you know, and also, shout out to Lola's dad. I mean, I think he worked himself into a shoot out there.
Okay, he did.
It sure looked like it. I mean,
that poor man was going through it.
Yeah. It's still real to him, damn it.
Yeah. But no, I thought, yeah, I get it. You know, excellent match. And again, you know, if you told me a year ago that I would be saying that about a match with those two, again, I would have thought you were smoking rocks. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's a great job by both of them.
Yeah, well said. So that brings us to our main event of the evening. The NXT Championship was on the line. Obafemi defended his title against the new kid in town, Ricky Saints, and your new NXT champion. I thought it was a possibility, but even still, like when it happened, it was like, damn, okay, we're doing this. DJ, what do you think of the new NXT champion? And what's next for Obafemi?
I was pleasantly surprised, because we posed the question on this show multiple times, who and when beats Obafemi? And that question was answered this weekend. The who was Ricky Saints and the when was Saturday. All in all, fun match. I love the way it ended. It took four DDTs, including one on the table, to put down Obafemi. Ricky, again, good big guy, small guy match, because Obafemi came out hot. He was beating the hell out of Ricky Saints, just beating him. Ricky held on when it counted. He hit the big moves when it counted, stuck, you know, just kind of slowly chopped away at that tree. Great psychology in this match, and I had a ton of fun with it. I think Oba's getting the call up sooner than later.
Yeah.
U.S. Open Challenge?
Possibly.
Everybody, I've been, you know, a couple of Facebook groups I'm in and everything. Everybody seems to be saying that's the way to go, that, you know, that that should be his introduction to the main roster. He should answer the open challenge. He should win. and it makes sense because I thought, see, I didn't think he was, I thought he was going to win this match because I just didn't, I didn't think they were done with him yet. But now after this, you know what? Obviously he can still use some more time to develop, but I think we've kind of reached that. What else was there to do point, with him there, right? I mean, look, I think it's one of those things where him losing the title should be, that should be his, you know, that should be it for him staying in NXT, right? There's nothing for him to, because I think he's not the type of, like, you don't want him to, he's not, you know, go through adversity guy as far as a, you know, a presence or a character or whatever, right? You know, he should beat people until it's time for him to lose a match. And then if you do that, and then you, he goes right back to beating everybody again. That's just, you know, that's who he is, right? So having done that here, there's no point to have him, you know, I don't see any real point in having him stick around.
When you're done, I have another thought on that.
Okay. Now there were a couple, there was, I thought that he and Trick were going to have some type of final confrontation, right? Cause that seemed to be like, that's where they were kind of headed with both of them. But if not, then, story wise, there's nothing else for him to do there. Yes, he could obviously use some more time there to keep developing, but story-wise, there's really nothing else to do with him there. Story-wise, it's time to move him on, I think.
Yeah,
I tend to agree. I mean, if there truly was nothing for him to do, like, because we always say, like, okay, call him up and have a plan, then I would say, okay, fine, keep him in NXT. And I would say at least seeing this version of Ova without the title and letting that actor walk around in that role for a while wouldn't be the worst thing. But I really think that just answering the open challenge and being the U.S. champion for a couple of months is a pretty sweet lane to be into. So, and Rob first pointed this out, but it's painfully obvious. Sammy needs to be freed up for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So
one more quick thing on Oba's losing and potentially being called up. And I just thought of this as Rob was talking. Trick Williams is the leading man of NXT. And to a certain degree, that has kind of been overshadowed by how awesome Oba Femi is. I think Trick's TNA championship run is about to come to an end, which is going to pull him full time back into NXT, which is going to put him right back in the hunt for the NXT championship against Ricky Saints. I think you got to get Oba out of there to kind of put the money back in the Trick Williams bag a bit, because I think the two of them were taking a bit of heat away from each other, and you need to get them off the same shows.
That makes sense.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, that brings us to the end of Survivor Series, or Survivor Series, almost. No Mercy, unless you guys have any other thoughts, Rob.
Just one more thing to add to what DJ was saying.
Yeah, sure.
You know, cause you have that situation with Trick and Oba, like you said, but also with Ricky Saints, that's a very crowded top.
Yes.
With the three of them, with all three of them there, that is a very crowded top.
And yes.
They're just, you know, there isn't enough room for all three of those guys. Yeah. Because basically, that's three guys who should be your NXT champion, and you just don't have time, you know. And you know, Trick being the TNA champion, actually, it's been a good thing because it has taken him away from having to be, you know, it's given him something else to do.
Yes. So,
but now, like you said,
I think Trick is to the point. Like, he's going to get called up soon, I think. But he's to the point where he doesn't need the title. He doesn't need to be in the title picture. But his segment is always going to be 1A. Like, you know? Yeah. Like, at this point, he's the quarterback of NXT. More so than Oba, in a way.
Yeah. So, but like DJ was saying, you need to clear out some space so that he can do that. And, you know, so moving Oba along is the right way to do it so that he can, you know, however many months he has left in NXT, he can spend those months doing, you know, playing the role that he should be playing.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I imagine, you know, I imagine he will probably put over Ricky Saints on the way out the door. And then, you know, at some point. And then, but again, like DJ said, you need to make room for him to be able to, you know, play his entire role there.
So. Yep.
So. Well, I don't think Ricky's long for NXT anyway, so.
Nah, I think they'll all be on the main roster by the end of 2026.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
All right. Excuse me, guys. Sorry, my voice is shot. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, Rob's got another little game he wants to play. We're going to have a little bit of fun with that. Before we go to commercial, I want you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the T-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, check out the T-shirt selections we got there. Pick one up. The starving artist on these shows will thank you. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And we are back again. You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, as always to be found on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads. We're back with another game this week. It's another little something that Rob created. So I'm going to kick this show over to Rob and let him explain what we're doing here. Rob, show's yours.
Okay. This is the retirement game, so to speak. This is this year Goldberg had his last match. And in recent years, we've had some last matches from Sting and The Undertaker. And, you know, also, and then Kurt Angle back in 2019. So we've had some examples of the right way to do a last match or you know, a good exciting way to do a last match and a not so exciting way to do a last match. And we have John Cena's last match coming up in a couple of months. So I thought, and there's been a lot of questions on the people on the internet, well, who should John face in his last match? You know, and I've seen some different answers and then also some different opinions. Some people think he should go out putting somebody over. Some people think he should not. I'm of the opinion that he should go out with his hand raised because ain't nobody paying. It's again, it's the victory lap. Ain't nobody paying to see him lose at this point. Okay. And all you nerds who insist on, well, you put somebody over on the way out. No, you don't. Okay. I mean, no greater an authority, somebody who would know something about wrestling, a man named James E. Cornette even said recently that, you know, that there's no need for him to put somebody over because he's not leaving the territory, he's retiring, okay? And there's no, you know, there's no, it's not a necessity for him to put somebody over on the way out, right? And, you know, The Undertaker won his last match, Sting won his last match, it was perfectly fine. If John Cena wins his last match, if there's somebody he wants to put over and it's entirely his call and he says, hey, boss, you know, I want to put this guy over on my way out, then that's perfectly fine. Okay. But I do not think the booker should be telling him, hey, John, time to get back, you know.
Yeah.
Stop. Okay. No. All right. I decided to make a list of 10 names, 5 men, 5 women, and for each one, we're going to pick somebody for them to put over or on their way out, and somebody for them to beat if they want to go out with a victory. We're going to give our choices as to who we would pick. And now the first one is kind of like the first one is basically is like the free swings on the scrap board here, okay? And so I figured out it was a really easy one to start with. And actually, okay. Well, it's and it and actually it's and it's two people combined in one, and it's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. We know they're doing it. We know, right?
Yeah, let them. I would just say you got 30 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What do you need? Do you need a hardcore match? Okay, cool. You need a cage? Got it. You need bumper cars? All right, we'll figure it out. And then Rob, I don't even want to give an answer. I would just say go.
Yeah.
And, do whatever.
And honestly, to me, it would be fitting if it was their last match for both of them. And
exactly. Tell the ref when to count the pin.
And or you, look, I would have a last man standing match, and they both fall out, and they both get counted to him.
Right.
And then they get up and hug each other.
That's right, the perfect ending to those two.
Last man standing draw.
Yeah, that's the first one. I figured we would all agree on that.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
I picked a nice easy one to start with. Okay.
I thought we were booking people that they would both lose and win to. But the answer for Kevin and Sammy and in both of them is the other.
Yeah, the only
is the other one. Right.
Okay. Now, all right, so let's start in earnest here. Okay. We're gonna start out with the tribal chief Roman Reigns. Jason, you go first. Who would you have him put over and who would you have him beat?
If we don't get it any other way, we're getting it now. Seth Rollins.
What, if he's, for which one?
To put down on his way out. Okay. To get his hand raised. I'd beat this motherfucker.
Okay.
Cause, yeah, and it's gonna be a hardcore match and, or, you know, street fight, whatever you want to call it, so they can use chairs. And Seth will finally pay for his sins. That's it. That's the only answer. And for Roman, the easy answer right now is Bron Breakker. Give him the spear, you know, formally hand him the spear, and do that on the way out.
All right. DJ,
I'm going to copy Jason's homework, believe it or not, as the ride or die for Seth Rollins. That's the right call. You know, that their stories are interwoven throughout their entire WWE careers, and in the story, Roman has never definitively defeated Seth Rollins.
And I would tell you, that would have to be their last match. If that's the way it's going to go, that might have to be their last match in WWE.
Yeah. And then to put over, absolutely Bron Breakker.
Yeah, but so Batman finally, you know, fucking puts the Joker down. That's how that story ends, folks. Anyway.
Okay. I agree with you about who he would beat, Seth Rollins. Yes, for all the reasons that you guys said. I have a different answer for who he put over, though. My answer for who he put over is Jay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to fight you at all.
Well, come in, you close the loop. It started with them and ends with them.
Yeah.
That's a mess. And Jay has never beaten him. I think it would be fitting for Jay to finally get his victory. And like I said, you know, to me, it's, you know, be the perfect bookend to the whole Tribal Chief era. That'd be the perfect bookend. Cause again, it started with them and it ends with them.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm in.
All righty. Now why don't we just move ahead and then go next to Seth Rollins? Okay. DJ, you go first this time. Who's he beat?
Who does he beat in his last match? God, I don't even know. Let me think about who he puts over. Trying to think of
the answer is Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, he puts over Roman Reigns. That's a gimme. But who does he beat? I'm trying to think of who era. You know what?
Excuse me.
He beats in spectacular fashion Carmelo Hayes.
Okay. Who would I ever beat? Man. Oh, I know. I got it. Yes, I got it. I got it. Do you have one, Jason? Yet, or you want me to go?
So I would have him. No, go ahead.
All right. So I think, yeah, lose the Roman. We probably all agree there. I would have him beat Will Ospreay.
That's cheating.
No,
a little bit.
They don't have to be. It doesn't have to be somebody who works there. No. But I mean, because look, I think if you shot Seth Rollins up with Truth Serum and said, "Who's one guy? You know, you could have a match with one guy from anywhere." And I mean, if you ask him now, he would say somebody in this. You know, he would say Javon Evans or somebody like that.
Yeah.
In the company. But if you shot him up with Truth Serum and asked him, he would say Will Ospreay. All right. Because Will is the final form of everything that, you know, Seth Rollins was in Ring of Honor and all of that. Okay. And I think he would absolutely want to do that. So I would have him beat Will Ospreay on his way out the door.
Okay.
Okay. I would have him beat Roman Reigns beats him. And I'd have him, who would beat Seth on the way out the door? Nathan Frazier.
Oh, because, yeah, I mean, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And run with it, kid. Like, try to find something to do with it. You know, maybe it's a total rebrand, total repackage, but the student has become the master. Go run.
All right. So we've had all guys so far. So we will stay in within the same household. Jason, Becky Lynch, who did she beat? Who did she put over?
Oh, she puts over. I'm trying to think of who just I'm any of the new the girls in NXT right now or any of the newer girls, but like because
maybe the girl she buried this summer.
Yeah, I mean that would probably be nice.
I'm joking. Yeah, barrier, but she won 3 matches in a row against her.
Yeah, getting the get back would be nice. So, and then as far as who she loses to, who beats her?
No, well, she not.
Or excuse me, I'm sorry. Who would she beat? Like, because I don't want her beating anybody on the way out. I don't know if there's anyone she needs a make good against, and it's because she's done pretty darn well for herself.
Well, give her a Ronda match.
Yeah, exactly, like Ronda again or something like that. Ronda, like, and you're gonna actually take the pin this time, you idiot. You're not gonna botch the finish of the first women's match or main event of WrestleMania. Good job. Give her Ronda one more time.
All right, what about you, DJ?
Let's see. She beats Kehlani. Okay. She loses to Lyra.
Okay. I think her.
Yeah, Lyra's the right answer.
Yeah, because that's, again, it's like the Nathan Frazier, Seth Rollins. All right, kid, the student has become the master.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got her lose. I would have her lose to Lyra and never be wrong. Alrighty. So, of course, you know, we mentioned Becky, so we know we got to mention next. Right? The 14-time women's champion. I'll go first. Okay. Okay, if it's last match and if she's going to put somebody over on her way out the door, I would pick Saul Ruby. Because, yeah, I think of all the tall, blonde-haired women who are NXT or who've come through NXT, I think she would be the one to actually take that and run with it. And as far as who she would beat in her last match, there's only one person I would pick. You know who that is.
Nikki Cross?
No.
The redheaded devil lady.
Yes, he would beat her in the middle of the ring and then drape a championship belt across her waist and then walk out.
There you go. Sorry, Bex.
All right, who wants to go? Oh, we are. We're friends with Bex. Can we all pick? All right. All right, now. Since we're talking about horsewomen.
Wait a minute. Did Jason and I go
for Charlotte? No, I was going to say, I didn't go for Charlotte.
I'm sorry.
I didn't go for Charlotte.
I'm sorry. I was getting both of y'all. Okay, so.
Jason, go
for Charlotte. He's so excited to talk about his girl.
Oh, stop it.
Jesus. So I would have her put over Kehlani on the way out for all the sort of same reasons as you'd say Soul. But the match would be awesome. And I think, again, it's up to you now, Kehlani. Run with it. You know, do something with it. But I think it's in good hands at least. And then as far as, yeah, the easy answer is Becky, man. Like you close that loop and just laugh one more time.
All right, Deej.
I think she beats – I would have her beat Lash Legend going out the door, and here's why. Charlotte has really good matches against women that are bigger than her. And Lash Legend is bigger than Charlotte, and I think they could have a really, really good match. I think it would be a great way to put Lash over while Charlotte still goes over. And then who would I have her lose to? Blake Monroe.
Okay.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, I can go with that. All right. Since we're on the subject of horsewomen, we're going to switch companies here. And we're going to go to the woman who doesn't seem to lose to anybody very often. Jason, who would you pick for the CEO?
Sasha Banks is going to retire as Sasha Banks, and Bayley's going to put her in the dirt.
Okay.
And if Sasha Banks wants to go out on top, Sasha Banks is going to retire as Sasha Banks, and Bayley's going to do the job.
Okay. Well, I mean, they are very similar to Sammy and Kevin, to be honest.
They are. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, one day we see what's her – something Rose is her Devion Rose or whatever was Bailey's indie name. Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if we see her in AEW in 3 years or 2 years or whatever. Just cause, you know, all right, I want to go play with my other friends and make tons of money. Great. Good for you. So yeah, it's Sasha. Bailey rather on both ends. Okay. Honestly.
I think I agree with you on both counts, both ends. What about you, DJ?
I would have her lose to Bayley, no matter what company it's in. If she's on her way out, Bayley pins her, I would have her beat Bianca Belair. Because there's history there. There's very significant history between the two of them. Yes. And Bianca owes her one.
True.
Yeah. Sure.
All righty. So now we're going to go to Mercedes / Sasha, one of her former tag team partners, Naomi. I'll go first. Okay. If she's going to put somebody over, I would pick Kehlani, for all the obvious reasons. Okay. You know, we have to go into all that, but for all the obvious reasons. Okay. And if she's going to win on her way out, I'd have her beat Charlotte because never done it. Who wants to go?
I'll go.
Okay, go ahead, Jason. Sure. I agree. You know, if she's going to win on the way out, Charlotte. And she should, by the way. And Charlotte will do it. And if she's going to lose, I'm going to say Sol Ruka for the – it's – I don't want to say they have a similar style in ring because they don't, but they have a similar vibe and – or at least Sol is getting there, you know? I don't even know what I'm kind of reaching at, but it's a general vibe. And I think, the match would be a lot of fun too.
So along the same lines, I think going out the door, if she pins anybody, she pins Charlotte. That's the right call. Again, for scientific reasons, she puts over Jada Parker.
And we'll leave it there.
All right.
We'll leave it there. And I do have an alternative for Mercedes to put over on her way out of the door. If not Bailey, I would ever put over Harley Cameron.
Okay, oh, yeah. I like it.
Yep. You mean? Hang on. You'd have to. You've had to put over the Rat.
Yes. And yes.
She's the best, man.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, and it was so fun to see her bring back. Mini Monet last night.
Oh, she's just like she's if WWE doesn't offer her like a mountain of money, I don't know what, like when the time comes, I don't know what's going on.
Tony yeah. better never let her go.
Yeah, cause,
no,
yeah, she's one like
a year in advance. You'd be like, so we talk an extension? Okay, cool. Yes. Don't even let them pick up the phone. Got it.
Yeah, I think she's yes, exactly. She's somebody you don't wait for the contract to be coming up.
Nope. All
right, so we have two more. All right, we're going to go across the street now, back to AEW. And we're going to one Kenneth Omega. This is then we've all said before that we really wish he had come over to WWE.
Yeah.
So we're going to pretend that he can't for this exercise. Jason, you go first.
Roman Reigns kicks out of the one-winged angel. Roman Reigns pins him 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring.
Okay.
That's the easy answer.
And who,
Who does he beat on the way out? I mean, I'd give him his choice, but, you know, if I'm waving a magic wand, I'd be like, hey, man, who do you want? He might say, yeah, Xavier Woods. And I'd be like, okay, sure. Whatever you want to do. But if I'm picking and he has to win, I would shoot Okada up with all sorts of everything and be like, all right, buddy, you got one more in you. Well, at that point, I'd probably be shooting both of them up with all sorts of whatever. Yeah, but hey,
something.
Yeah, but seriously, give them that circumstance, and they can make something even right now. So, I would feel pretty comfortable closing the loop with Kenny.
Okay, DJ.
I agree with the Okada thing. I would have Kenny. Lose to Okada, and going out the door, I would have him pin John Cena.
Okay.
Wow.
Me? Okay. If he's losing, I would have it be the Roman Reigns. If he's winning, I would pick Xavier Woods.
I almost picked Xavier, and then Jason said Okada. I'm like, yeah, the streets need that one more time.
But yeah, because I would have him and Xavier finally get to have their match together.
Yeah, that makes sense. I won't argue that one. That's a good call.
Only if it's at WrestleMania, and I tell both of them, okay, do whatever you want, and I better have to explain it long form to my budget department.
Oh, the entrances alone.
Exactly.
Would be fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I would say... just go nuts, boys, and I'll just make it happen.
Like, nobody else gets pyro tonight. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all Xavier and Kenny. That's all. Yeah.
We save one firework each for Roman and Cody because we have it's in their contract. But other than that, we're out.
Yeah. All right, last one. Actually, we're going to stay in the Root Beer Company. Thomas Tony Storm. I'll go first. If she's winning on the way out, I would have her get revenge for the pie in the face, okay? And I'd have her beat Charlotte on the way out the door. And I still don't know who I'd have her put over. I've been thinking about it, So you guys go, and I'll see if I can think of something.
I mean, I'm always big on if you're – in all these circumstances, think about who's your Joker or who's your Batman or who's your Lex Luthor, whatever. It's Blake Monroe. I mean, and I'd have her, you know, put over Blake Monroe on the way out.
That's, you know what, I'll take that. I'll agree with you there. Okay.
And if she's winning, I agree with you, Charlotte. Come back as timeless Tony Storm. Hi, remember me? Boom. That's the match. Beat her.
Man, this is tough. This is a tough one. This is a good one to do at the end, Rob, because I've got easily, I can thread the needle with like four or five women. Obviously, Blake Monroe is one you can tie the needle with. You can thread the needle with. Charlotte Flair is in there. Also, Rhea Ripley. Those two have history going all the way back to the Mae Young Classic. Yes, and they're both Aussies. So there's a lot there. So, this is tough.
Well, then they both like, you know, kind of had the baby deer legs for a little while just in terms of their performance, and then they became the leading woman of their federation.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. There's so many ways to tie that together. So I would say she loses to Rhea on the way out. She beats Charlotte.
Because I can remember, and she did beat Rhea Ripley for the NXT UK. No, I think Rhea Ripley. Yeah. She beat Rhea Ripley for the NXT UK Championship.
She did. So that ties those threads. That closes the loops there.
Well, and just they're both now the top women on both of their companies. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah. So.
And that is all. That concludes the list.
I love Game Time.
Now,
I do too. This has been so much fun.
Now, there's some. There are a couple of names I had on here originally, but threw out. If you guys want to
fire them away, let's go.
Okay. Well, so I considered Chris Jericho.
If he's winning, Moppy. just a mop or some sort of a mop or like I don't know, like some sort of inanimate object, just something ridiculous. If he's winning, it should be something totally absurd. But I don't know. And if he's losing, how much time he got? It should be like a battle royal, or like a handicap match. I don't know. Somebody else has got to go first and give me inspiration because there's too many names.
I'd have him lose to AJ because that was just a egregiously stupid booking decision at WrestleMania 32. I would have him lose to AJ.
Chris Jericho had no business winning that match.
And he would probably tell you that himself. Okay.
He did.
And as far as if he's going to beat somebody on the way out, Matt Reed had to have that match. I hate those guys. I give him a handicap match against the Young Bucks. He can beat both of them.
He can beat the Young Bucks.
Oh, man. Deej, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to agree with Rob on the loss. And the guy who he pins on the way out is Jungle Jack Perry.
Oh, that would work, too. that would work also.
Oh, fair enough. Jungle. Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with you, unfortunately. It's terrible radio, but... Yeah, that's too good.
And I also considered Asuka. And I mean, I think it's just, well, to me, the her losing, and we're probably very well may see this in a few months, but I mean, losing the EO, I think.
Yeah.
Losing is EO and winning, I think, is Charlotte. Like, you know, yeah. WrestleMania, like WrestleMania, the Rumble, like she won the Rumble, you know, couldn't quite get it done at WrestleMania. I don't know if she's ever actually beaten Charlotte and like, has she? No, she like she has sort of by that, by now.
Yeah, she has.
Okay. Well, still, I don't know. Then beating, I don't know. That's tough.
I never beat Rhea because Rhea's beaten her a bunch of times and she's never beaten her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I agree with that. I'm good there.
Going back to the NXT even.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. That is all. And
yes. Nice. All right.
Good job, Rob.
Before we get out of here, I want to throw just a big, when we get these injuries and we get these reports of people that are either having to take time off or having to step away for a while, we try to mention that on this show. And the artist formerly known as Data Brooke, now known as Ash by Elegance in TNA, announced she had to relinquish her championship. And announced that she is stepping away. Early reports are saying that she's done. No word on what exactly is wrong with her. We're not going to speculate on this show. That's not what we do here. But we do try to acknowledge these things when people have these situations where they're not able to continue the wrestling thing. And she has had such a turnaround since WWE released her. And we advocate for that a lot of times on this show. We never like to see our favorites leave. But if you're somebody who's really struggling to make a name for yourself in WWE, we always advocate for going somewhere else and rebooting yourself. And that's what she did. She landed in TNA and created this entire thing for herself. And it's been amazing watching her grow, watching her flourish, watching her build this brand. And now, for reasons that we yet do not know, she is stepping away. And you hate to see that, but... You know, I want to wish her, and I'll let the boys say their piece. You know, I want to wish her well and hope that whatever it is that's going on is not long term, that it's one, not something that is going to keep her from ultimately enjoying her life, whatever that ends up being. And if she can come back to the wrestling thing, awesome, but take care of you first.
Yeah, I mean, I'll add, you know, hopefully I'll hope for the moon at this point. I'm hoping for a false alarm. Like, and she steps away for a little bit and it's like, oh, actually, or these reports are, you know, a little overblown or whatever. But yeah, everything you said about that gal, it's true. Like, she went out and reinvented herself, and she has two other people who their gimmick is hers. Like, their whole gimmick is by Elegance, and that is the gimmick she made up. So. Yeah, nothing but awesome things to say about her, and we've been tooting her horn for a long time. She was, you know, anytime they put her in anything in WWE before she got let go, you know, she was making gold out of whatever bit part she was given. Anyway, big thing with her is I'm so glad if this is the end or whatever, I'm so glad she got to close that damn loop and win the Knockouts title in a WWE ring, in an NXT ring. Like, that was a wild moment, and I'm glad it happened for her, because that was incredible. But yeah, all the best wishes. I'm hoping for false alarm, but if not, then hey, man, take care of you, you know, because we, you know, yeah, you entertain us, but you're a person first, so... Take care of you, and best wishes in the world.
Yeah, and that's like it sucks. Again, like everybody else, we're hoping that, you know, that by some miracle it's not over. But if it is, then again, you know, perfect way to wrap it up. And like y'all said, look, she got released from WWE, and also before she got released, for many, she was there for several years, and there were times where she was like literally in witness protection for weeks and months at a time, and then she finally did get released, and you know, a lot of people in her position would have quit, you know, I'd just gone on to do something else. They would have taken that as a sign as, you know what, maybe this just wasn't what it was for me, you know. And but she went to TNA and, you know, she got better. She, you know, she reinvented herself. She worked on herself and she got better. And she got to the point where they thought enough of her to put their women's championship on her. And the TNA Knockouts Championship is not some, it's not an Outlaw Mud Show, you know, trinket belt. Okay. You know, Mickie James held that belt. Naomi held that belt. Jordynne Grace held that belt. Deonna Purrazzo held that belt. You know, Gail Kim, Awesome Kong. There have been some major names in women's wrestling that held that title. And, you know, and they thought enough of her. She improved, you know, enough to where that company thought enough of her to put her in that lineage. And that is as big a career turnaround as anybody could hope for. And you know, so kudos to her for doing that and for pulling that off. And, you know, again, if this is it, then, you know, it sucks. And, but it was a good one to wrap it up. And if by some chance that's not it, then we'll see you down the road.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. This makes 264. We are back to work and hopefully going to continue to provide content for you guys on a regular basis. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.